Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out into the Australian bush. Today we're going to look at John chapter 9. And again, John follows the conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. And then in John chapter 10, he begins to show us some of the amazing and wonderful teaching that Jesus said and did. And then some miracles that eventually lead to his crucifixion. So we've got a lot to look forward to. But let's not move past John chapter 9. Because here we'll see a distinct contrast between the cold heart of religion and the heart of Jesus. And remember, when we're looking at the heart of Jesus, we're looking at the heart of God. Father, help us as we do our study today. Open our eyes to where we can see what you want us to see. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to basically read through it and make some comments. First, John chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And as he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, this doesn't say much for the disciples. How is it possible for a man to be blind because of his own sin? Don't we believe that a baby is sinless? And that's the truth. So it wasn't his sin. But anyway, Jesus sets them straight. Verse 3, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's work might be displayed in him." This phrase shows an awful lot about the sovereignty of God. God knows the beginning from the end, and he knows the in-between as well. And he has organized for this man to be born blind to where it will reveal the glory of Jesus Christ. Well, somebody may say, "My God doesn't do something like this." Well, I say to you, have you ever read the book of Job? See, God will do what he chooses to do for his own purposes. We can't reconstruct God according to our opinion. We've got to follow how he reveals himself. Let's move on to verses 4 and 5. "We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Very simply, Jesus' time is coming to an end, and we know that. And our time of ending is soon to follow. We know the Lord will return one day. But then Jesus made an interesting statement. He says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And we know that. He was the light of the world while he was here. But that changed, folks. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14 says, "You are the light of the world." This is Jesus speaking. "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden." Jesus was the light of the world while he was here. Now we are the light of the world. Now let me ask you, how do you feel that God has made you his light in this world? Now let's move on to verses 6 and 7. After he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on his eyes. "Go," he told him, "washed in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he left, washed, and came back seeing. What an amazing miracle took place right here. A man born blind, he can now see. And he was healed because he did exactly what Jesus said to do. "Go, wash in Siloam, come back, and you'll be healed." Can we learn something from that? I mean, if we'll do exactly what Jesus says to do, don't you think that he will bless that? I think so. But there's a problem with what Jesus did. Yes, he healed this man on the Sabbath, but there was also a rabbinical law that stated that you cannot knead clay on the Sabbath. So Jesus was in trouble. Why did he do that? I think he wanted to prove a point. You see, I think the Sabbath is supposed to be a blessing to the Jews, but they have turned it into a burden. So Jesus used the Sabbath to heal this blind man and be a blessing to him. Verses 8 through 12. His neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit begging?" And some said, "He's the one," and others were saying, "No, but he looks like him." And he kept saying, "I'm the one." And they asked him, "Then how were your eyes open?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So when I went and washed, I received my sight." Then the crowd says, "Where is he?" And he says, "I don't know." So confusion reigned. It was going crazy. But now the Pharisees enter the picture, verses 13 through 15. They brought the men who used to be blind to the Pharisees. The day that Jesus made the mud and opened the eyes, his eyes, was the Sabbath. Then the Pharisees asked him again how he received his sight. And he said, "He put mud on my eyes." He told them, "I washed and I can see." It's pretty simple, don't you think? Then the Pharisees speak up. Verse 16, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a sinful man perform such signs?" And there was an amazing division going on here. Jesus heals a blind man on the Sabbath, and they say he's not from God. Pretty sloppy belief system, don't you think? Now go to verse number 17. Again, they asked the blind man, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?" "He's a prophet," he said. A simple question and an answer. But keep the blind man's response in mind, and we'll soon see why the Pharisees asked him that question. Verse 18. The Jews did not believe this about him, that he was blind and received sight, until they summoned the parents of the one who had received a sight. They asked him, "Is this your son, the one you say was born blind? How then does he see?" "Well, we know this is our son and that he was born blind," his parents answered. "But we don't know how he now sees, and we don't know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said these things. Now listen, his parents said these things because they were afraid of the Jews, since the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him as the Messiah, he would be banned from the synagogue. And this is why his parents said, "He's of age. Ask him." Do you remember the Pharisees asked the blind man, "What do you say about this man Jesus?" And he responded, "A prophet." Well, he knew that. And if he had said the Messiah, you see, if somebody comes by and heals you of a lifelong blindness, wouldn't you be tempted to call him Messiah if you were a Jew? But he was smart. He said he's a prophet. But I think this is a pretty low down shame that these religious leaders so threaten their people that they're afraid to say what they really believed. You're beginning to see the cold, cold heart of religion here. But there's more. Verse 24. So a second time they summoned the man who had been blind and told him, "Give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner." Hang on a minute. Jesus heals the man of blindness and he is a sinner? How could that happen? The Pharisees hated Jesus so much, and they were so jealous of him. They did everything they could to discredit him. Now let's follow this conversation all the way to the end. So the Pharisees called Jesus a sinner. Listen to the response of the man who was born blind, but is now healed. Verses 25 through 33. And he answered, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, and now I can see. That's all he needed. Verse 26, and they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I already told you, he said, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too, do you? They ridiculed him. You're that man's disciples, but we're Moses' disciples. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but this man, we don't know where he's from. I love the blind, the healed man's response. This is an amazing thing in verse 30. The man told them, you don't know where he's from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. Throughout history, no one has ever heard of someone opening the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. What a common sense response. Well, the Pharisees explode because they've been put in their place. Verse 34, you were born entirely in sin, they replied, and are you teaching us? Then they threw him out. You see, the blind man was just an ordinary man who met an extraordinary Savior, and it changed his life. And he could care less what the Pharisees thought, because he saw the heart of Jesus, and he was tired of the cold heart of the Pharisees. Well, now Jesus shows up after the man has been cast out of the temple. Verses 35 through 38. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? Well, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? He asked. Jesus answered, you have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Verse 38, I believe, Lord. And he worshiped him. The man knew who he was looking at. His life had been changed, and he worshiped him. So Jesus had accomplished his task. He healed the man. The man believed in him, legitimately believed in him. And you can bet he followed him the rest of his life. Look, I know this has been a lengthy story, but I hope you saw the contrast between the cold heart of religion and the heart of Jesus. You see, this cold heart of the religion is the sign of a system gone bad. And we know that's what happened. Well, what I get from this story, it's not about denomination. It's not about a religion. But it is salvation and a lifestyle to follow Jesus and to know him. And I would encourage you to do that. I know it's hard, but we really need, if we're going to follow Jesus, to lay everything aside and follow him as he invited us to do. But unless I leave out the last couple of verses, let's look at those. Jesus has something more to say. Verse 39, Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind. And some surrounding Pharisees wondered if they were blind as well. And Jesus responds, verse 41, if you were blind, Jesus told them, you wouldn't have sin. But now that you say, we see, your sins remain. In other words, if you were blind and couldn't see the truth, you do not remain in your sin. But he's speaking to the Pharisees, but since you're Pharisees and say that you know the truth and you reject me, you're still in your sin. So remember, Jesus said, if we hear his word and follow him, we'll know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Folks, we need to stay in the word of Jesus. And these guys, they rejected Jesus. And you know what? They remained in their sins. So let me ask you, how have you responded to Jesus? How have you responded to Jesus? Are you staying in his word? Then things will go well for you. But if you've seen Jesus and rejected him, well, that's not a good situation for you. So may I encourage you, follow Jesus. Turn to him, this extraordinary Savior, and follow him. Father, thank you for this story of the blind man and the Pharisees and Jesus. Help us to learn to follow the heart of God, nothing else but the heart of God, who's full of grace, mercy, and concern for lost people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.